Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome, everybody. A couple little thoughts for you here this morning. There's a poem that you probably all read back in high school. It's called The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. It's by an English author. His name is Samuel Taylor Coleridge. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And if you didn't read that back in high school, I bet you anything that you know the most famous line from that poem. It's something that people have been saying, you know, since like kindergarten. It goes like this. Water, water everywhere. And all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere. Nor any drop to drink. The Rime of the Ancient Mariner tells the story of a sailor who's adrift on the open sea, dying of thirst, but surrounded entirely by salt water. Salt water, as you know, can't quench thirst. In fact, the more you drink, the thirstier you get. If you drink too much salt water, you actually die of death by dehydration. True story. A friend of mine in the seminary was a refugee from Vietnam sometime back in the 70s. Escaped Vietnam on a boat, and he was adrift on the high seas with no food and no water, dying of thirst. And he said some of the people that were on the boat with him gave in to the maddening temptation and drank salt water to their own death, because sometimes that which seems like sweet relief is, in cold reality, lethal. Now, to live in the modern world is to be adrift in a sea of spiritual salt water. You are an incarnate thirst. It's the way God made you. You can do none other than to thirst from the depths of your soul for truth, and for love, and for happiness, and for these in infinite measure. And all around us, all around the secular world is making promises to quench that deep inner thirst all around us. But you know what? It's all so much salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. We all have our salty drink of choice. For some people, it's the pleasures of the body. Can't get enough. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's power. For some people, it's popularity and esteem and honors. But it's so much salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. And so one man says to himself, gosh, I could have sworn money was going to make me happy. But now that I have it, I'm not happy. Therefore, I must need more of it. Or somebody else says to himself, a career success, that was supposed to make me happy. But I'm not happy. Therefore, I must not have achieved enough. Same basic formula applies all across life. Substitute anything that you want into that formula. The result is always the same. Nothing in this world is ever enough. The waters of this world are powerless to quench the thirst of the soul. Now, with that as a background, take a look at the story of Jesus speaking with the woman at the well. We don't know the backstory on this woman. The only thing we know is that whatever she'd been seeking in life is not satisfying her soul. She's had five husbands and is now engaging in what we all politely call cohabitation. Okay? So here's Jesus speaking with this woman, and he starts talking to her about the dissatisfaction of her life. And of all the people in the gospel who ever talked to Jesus, this lady is the closest that I've ever seen to anybody who can go toe-to-toe with the Son of God. She's got some spunk, right? She holds her own. But, you know, eventually it comes to the fore that she's not satisfied with life, and she ups and confesses it, and Jesus begins to liken it to this water that she's drinking. And then he says he's got something for her. He's got something called living water. Now, interestingly enough, if you go back to the first century, living water had a specific meaning. Living water, it meant white water. That's all it meant. Such that, you know, anybody who's ever so much as gone on a day hiking trip, or maybe you've been in the Cub Scouts or the Brownie Scouts, you quickly learn that when you're thirsty in the wild, you don't fill your canteen with stagnant water, right? Yeah, you're best off if you can find a waterfall or white water. That's what they used to call living water. Okay, so here's Jesus, and he's using this metaphorically. Best water of all is that which is going to quench your thirst, not just for time, but forever. And not just thirst of your body, but rather, he's talking about something that's going to quench your heart's deepest thirst. Jesus uses the image of living water as a metaphor for the love relationship with God we were all created to have. And this woman, as I said, she got some spunk. She's heard a lot of big promises from men before in her life. But there's something so convincing about Jesus that she makes a choice. She chooses to open her soul and her past and her sins and to hand it all over to him. She makes that choice. Two ways you can tell she makes that choice. First, look at the progression of words that she uses to refer to Jesus. From beginning to end. You, man, Jew, sir, prophet, Messiah, Christ. She comes to believe. And secondly, there's this beautiful symbol in which she leaves her old bucket behind. That which has been so powerless to quench the thirst of her soul, leaves it behind. She goes off and makes a brand new start, and she tells everybody that Jesus is the Christ of God. And you know, my simplest little message for you here this week, brothers and sisters, is what happened to her, it's got to happen to us. Because like I said, you are an incarnate thirst. You thirst in infinite measure for what the world can't deliver. You know one interesting thing that a priest learns real quickly when he starts hearing confessions? It's that 999 out of 1,000 wrong-headed things that people do aren't done out of malice. They're done out of a desperate attempt to find peace and happiness and rest and quench for that thirst in a place it can't be found. I love the way C.S. Lewis once said it. He said, God can't give you happiness apart from himself because there is no such thing. Now, take that and put it in light of all the events that have been happening this past week. You say to me, Father, what events have been happening this past week? What are you talking about? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. All the events have been happening. Challenge for you here this morning. Take all the events that have been happening this past week and society's response and try to summarize it in one word. Don't say it out loud. Who knows what you might say? But I bet you anything, the word that you have in your mind is not tranquility, peace, calm, rest, right? Panic, fright, anxiety. Personally, the word I would choose would be fear. Interesting thing, fear. You know, fear is nature's way of protecting you when you're in danger. Look all across the biosphere and you'll find every sentient animal in the world displaying some version of fear, even common little housefly, right? Nature's way of protecting you when you're in danger. It's natural, but it is not supernatural. As Christians, we are called to more, to very, very much more. What did Jesus say? Perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you throw caution to the wind. It doesn't mean you don't take prudent, reasonable steps to ensure your safety and the safety of other people. Perfect love casts out fear. It does not mean that we throw ourselves over Niagara Falls in a barrel. What does it mean? You know what it means? It means you're comfortable not being in control in a world that is spinning out of control. You're at peace. You might not like it, but you're at peace. But you want to know where that peace comes from? It comes from the conviction that God Almighty is in control and that God Almighty loves you. You're not in control, but the one who is loves you more than words can express. That's the secret of the saints. I love this. Look down through history. 2,000 years of church history, and you've got saints of the church, they've lived through everything. The bubonic plague, insurrections, persecutions, revolutions, war, world war, World War I, World War II, 70 years of communism. And it's amazing. They didn't necessarily like it, okay? They prayed God end it. Nothing wrong with that. But they were at peace. In fact, they were even joyful. They even cracked jokes. What's their secret? Their secret was they found Jesus Christ, just like this woman at the well finds Jesus Christ. I heard a fascinating little reflection this past week. It was on a little line from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. There's a line that St. Paul writes to the Colossians, and he says, in Jesus Christ, everything holds together. Things on earth, things above the earth, and things under the earth. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? You know what that means? That means when you take Jesus Christ out of life, what happens? Everything falls apart. Sound familiar? Have we not driven Jesus Christ out of every aspect of public life in this country? Should it surprise anybody that as soon as things get difficult, things start falling apart? It's true in our individual lives as well. Things start falling apart. What do we need to do? Do what this woman in the well did. Now, the key to letting our Lord in is repentance. Notice, as soon as Jesus makes contact with her and begins to grasp her attention, the first thing he calls her attention to is her need to repent and to turn away from her sin. And that's a big misunderstanding about that. Your sin doesn't make God love you less. Do you know that? You can commit every sin in the entire world. Don't, okay? But you could commit every sin in the entire world, and God would not love you any less than the day in which you were a brand newborn baby. Sin does not make God love us less. What does it do? It keeps us from responding to the love he has for us. It's been true ever since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve commit the sin in the garden. What's the first thing they do? They go and they hide. And God goes and seeks them out. Where'd you go? Here's this woman, emblematic of every sinner, as partly because she's getting water from a well in the heat of the day. Nobody did that. They went in the morning, they went in the evening, they went when it was cool. It's hard to carry water. It's hard. She's coming in the middle of the day because nobody wants to be seen with her. Except for one man, Jesus Christ. He's already there waiting, calling, begging for her faith. But she has to turn away from her sin. When she does, it changes her entire life. Same thing needs to happen to you and me, brothers and sisters. Same thing needs to happen to you and me. And not just for ourselves and for the sake of the peace of our own little lives. But we are a people of faith, hope, charity. Yes or yes? Yes. We've got good news. We want to share that with everybody else. But I got some news for you here this morning, brothers and sisters. You can't give what you don't have. Think of your life as being like a cup. The only thing you can give to anybody else is what you've got spilling out of the top. You want to share hope, rest, peace, joy? Come to the well and drink deeply. Let our Lord fill you, and don't be afraid to turn the sins of your life over to him, all of them, and make a brand new start. That's the reason why we read this in the Lenten season. You know, illness and weakness and death, these are not part of your Heavenly Father's plan. Consequence of original sin, no part of God's plan. However, there is one good consequence, actually. Well, several, but one good consequence of weakness and illness, it reminds us of our frailty. St. Augustine once said, we are created out of nothing, and to nothing we constantly tend to return. Reminds us of our frailty, of the shortness of life, and of the importance of turning to the Lord while we have the chance. So learn a lesson here from the woman in the well here this morning. Trust our Lord, make an act of radical trust in him, and hand over to him that bucket that you've been carrying around. It's left you so thirsty for so long. And as we said in our psalm response, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.